You can read about him in that little blurb that's in the bulletin, but he is a distinct man of God, a man of faith. And I am praying that God will speak through him to us today. It's a simple message. And he said in Croatia they speak 2 or 3 hours. And I said, well, we're used to that. Go for it. Not really. let's see what God has to bring us. Lord, we bless your name. Go before Pastor Mario right now, Lord. Let your spirit speak through him. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what we need to see. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jedna, tri. Dobro jutro svima. Kogod vas ima. Oh, it's Croatian language. Good morning, everybody. My name is Mario Dučić. As maybe you're noticing, I'm not from U.S. I'm native Croatian guy who turned to be speaking English language a little bit. Hope you'll be able to understand my crazy accent. But my wife, she's from Portland, Oregon, so she's American. You know, if you're American, you're going as a single in the mission field, you might be in trouble. Because there's some might be like single guys there, and then you'll be married. So I find my wife in Croatia. She was missionary in one small village, and one guy told me, hey, there's one lady, she graduated from same Bible school as you did, and she's single missionary. So, of course, that was my connection. Now we have 4 kids, 2 boys, 2 girls, 10 years in marriage, so far so good. Well, I'm not sure if you know a little bit about Croatia, but Croatia is a beautiful country. If you ever thought, if you were thinking about to take your family for vacation, please visit us. We are a country with over 1,000 islands and beautiful Adriatic coastline. You heard maybe from the city of Dubrovnik, and most of people are going there to see the beautiful 2,000 years old town. But you know, a part of that beauty, you know, Croatia is very religious. It's a very traditional Catholic country. You know, guys, where Croatia is located? Only one hand. Okay, so Croatia is not in Asia, you know. Croatia is not in Russia, but Croatia is just across the Italy. So we are part of European Union, very small country, approximately 4 million people. 86% people declare themselves to be Catholic, you know. When you say Catholic, means you're Croatian. If you're Croatian, you're Catholic, period. It doesn't matter if you read Bible, if you know God, but you're Catholic, you know. So out of those 86%, maybe 10% attend the church. I'm not sure how many of them like born again, some of them, I guess. But evangelical presence, 0.2%. So, you know, not a lot. But, you know, we have church in the capital, which is Zagreb. Approximately 1 million people with all suburbs, maybe 15 to 20 evangelical congregations. Usually they're small, like, you know, like 40, 50 people. There's no actually any church like Protestant evangelical building. But most of the time, churches are using like all kind of facility. We met for 15 years in an old Catholic church with no proper heat, so we need to dance a lot, you know. and then, people, churches are usually meeting like coffee shops or places. But after 30 years, praise God, we are on the edge to buy our first. We cannot say church property; we are buying the portion of one building, you know, that we're meeting there. Finally, after 30 years, so. Please continue to pray for us. It would be a great miracle. Hope to sign up the lease in a month and a half. So that would be a great breakthrough. But a little bit, you know, what's going on. God is moving, you know. It takes decades to see that God is always moving, but it's not easy. You know, we don't have guest visitors who are coming, like, for the first time in your church. Usually there are your friends who are already pre-evangelized, you know. So, you know, it took us a long time, you know, to have maybe 70 people with kids and pets, including everybody inside. But God is moving, you know. Kids are open, young people are open, marketplace ministry, music ministry, you know. There's Operation Christmas Child, I'm part of that. God is really using that ministry. But, you know, just pray for Croatia. I mean, it's really great revival. There are still many cities and towns without any evangelical church. So, you know, if you feel God is calling you, please come and visit us. You will enjoy our food. We have very good food, fish and pasta and pizza. Better pizza, you know. Okay, this is a little bit about myself. But thank you so much for a nice introduction, Pastor Jerry and Michael, and thank you guys for, thank you, Anna and Mr. Z. You know, Mr. Z is Vonimir. Do you know this guy? You know, he came, I received email when Anna was my, she was my secretary in the church. And we received one email from Mr. Zvonimir. He said, you know, Brother Mario, I'd like to come and visit Croatia and help you with the refugee crisis. So me and Anna were reading that mail. I said, well, I don't know who is this guy, but let him come. You know, he'll work in refugees. So he came and he's a quiet guy. So I just kind of like told him. I said, you can go and work in the military camp with drug rehab center. You go there and help. And he was quiet. He was serving great. And, you know, he came quiet. He left quiet. But, man, and after a while, you know, Anna is like, you know, she's sitting and she's like doing some chat. You know, like, Anna, what you're doing? Well, just talking to Mr. Z. So he stole my secretary. But I forgive him. It's okay. So thank you so much for hosting me. That's, I've been a single. I've been a single, always in trouble. Anyway, so let me encourage you from the Word of God. Are you ready? Okay. So please excuse my accent. I hope you'll be able to understand. Maybe my eyes will be on my nose, but I want to go through everything, you know. That's about Croatians. We start to speak and then we go to who knows what kind of topics and we come back, you know. 60 minutes. I'm teasing. 30 minutes. And I've been trained in America. Usually they'll give you 20 minutes or 25 minutes or 30 minutes, but you guys are generous. I got 45 minutes. That's really nice. Okay, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of John, chapter 3, verse 6 to 13. The title of my message this morning is You Must Be Born Again. Jesus said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know those things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive a witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So just think what a tragedy it will be to read and study the Bible, your eternal life, and still be lost on the judgment day. What a loss to be a Bible scholar and completely miss the central message of the Bible. In our text, Jesus is talking with a leading religious teacher in Israel. Jesus called him in John chapter 3 verse 10, the teacher of Israel. He was PhD guy, PhD guy. You know, he wrote like 10 books how to be slim, healthy and wealthy for Jesus. Anyway, so Nicodemus has dedicated his entire life to studying the law and prophets, but he did not understand basic spiritual truth and could not understand Jesus' words, truly, truly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven. And to gain entrance to God's eternal kingdom, Nicodemus was counting on the fact that he had been born as a Jew, and that he was not just an average Jew, but a Pharisee. But Jesus said, Nicodemus, your natural birth, your religious devotion, and your religious studies means absolutely nothing. You must be born again. We read in John chapter 3, verse 5. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So church, if you are not born anew, we are spiritual dead, the Bible says, and separated from God. And if we die to not be born again, the Word says that we are lost forever. We read it in John chapter 3, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. But the verses that we are considering today also teach that you need a new birth so that you can understand and respond to spiritual truth. You see, Nicodemus had studied the Old Testament, and yet he did not get what Jesus was saying because he was simply not born again. And most scholars believe that Nicodemus did put his faith in Jesus, By the time of the crucifixion, which is obviously from the courageous role he played in Jesus' burial, but at this time, at John chapter 3, while he's talking to Jesus, he's in great spiritual confusion. So from today's text, there are four things we need to understand. First of all, I would like to say that there is a fundamental divide between the physical and the spiritual. In John chapter 3, verse 6, we read, "That which is born of the flesh," Jesus said, "is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You see, Jesus drives a strict line between the physical and spiritual. So when he says that which is born of flesh, he's talking actually about human nature, or our natural man. You know, because of Adam's sins, we are all born in sin, separated from God. And this is why we need the Spirit of God to give us spiritual life so we can become the children of God. As written in John chapter 1, verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God." So, you know, one well-known poet in 17th century cried out, he said, "The Lord, make me a better man." And his servants answered back, and he said, "It will be much easier to simply make you a new man." You see, church, God must intervene to give us new life. Otherwise, all you have is the flesh trying to improve itself. But the flesh can never give itself new life that comes only from God. That's number two. I would like to say that it's absolutely essential that you experience the new birth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 7, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." You see, church, must is a strong word showing urgency. It is not an option. Genuine Christianity is a spirit in Henry Scogel title. His book is nothing less than the life of God in the soul of man. And he wrote that book in 1677 when he was 27 years old. He died actually of tuberculosis when he was 28 years old. And in the early 1700s, a 21-year-old Oxford student realized that his godless, careless life needed reform. He began to deny himself of every kind of pleasure. He wore worn-out clothing, ate only what was unbearable, fasted twice a week. He gave money to the poor and spent nights praying, often on a cold rock or wet grass. He thought that was spiritual. But he still felt like he was simply, he said, painting over a piece of rotten wood. And his colleague friend Charles Wesley gave him a copy of that book by Henry Scogel. And the student George Whitfield read that book with great excitement and pleasure. It showed him that true Christianity is a fellowship between your souls and God's. And George Whitfield described his experience in this way, I'm quoting. He said, "A ray of divine light darted in upon my soul, but not till then did I know I must be a new creature. And after having undergone innumerable buffetings of Satan and many months in inexpressible trials by night and day under the spirit of bondage, God was pleased at length to remove the heavy load to enable me to lay hold of his dear son by living faith and by giving me the spirit of adoption to seal me as a humbly hope even to the day of everlasting redemption." And he said, "But oh, with what joy unspeakable, even joy that was full of and big with glory was my soul filled when the weight of sin went off, an abiding sense of the pardoning love of God and a full assurance of faith broke in upon my disconsolate soul." Did you know that his favorite scripture was John 3:3? "Truly, truly, I say it unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And George Whitfield preached over 18,000 sermons. You know, once he preached to 20,000 people outside. He visited America a couple of times and was greatly used by God in the first great awakening. A friend once asked him why he preached so often about being born again, and his answer was, "Because you must be born again." So how does a person know they're born again? I would like to say my third point is that effects of new birth are unmistakable. In John chapter 3, verse 8, we read, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." You see, Jesus and Nicodemus may have been sitting on a rooftop during the evening of their conversation. Maybe Jesus said, "Nicodemus, do you feel that breeze? You cannot see the wind or control it because it blows where it wishes, but you can see its effect. See how the curtains move around because of that." And church, this is same with the Holy Spirit. You cannot control it because He moves as He wills. You cannot understand it, but you can see the effects because new birth has outward effects in our lives. So what are effects of the new birth? Apostle John wrote his first epistle to show the early church some genuine marks of salvation so that they could be on a guard against many false teachers. And here's what he says. Are you ready? Very simple thing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. He said, if you know that he is the righteous, you know that everyone who also practices righteousness is born of him. Otherwise, if you sit in the church and practice unrighteousness, guess what? You're not born of him. Is that correct? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him and he cannot sin because he's born of God. I'll explain that later on. But you do not practice sin if you're born of God. Is that correct? 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. We know that we have passed from death to life because we go to church. Is that saying? No, because we love the brethren. It doesn't matter if they're black, yellow, Chinese, gypsies, Croatian or Serbians. It doesn't matter if who is president. I know in America, look, brother, you don't understand. People said, man, you don't understand, he's evil. People say, I hate him. I say, you hate your president? Where is that in the Bible? Please show me that. What about praying for your president? And they know that Trump is not Messiah. I'm just checking with you, just to be sure that we're reading the same Bible, you know? Okay. Now we are getting to the message. Because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. And people said, Brother Mario, I cannot stand them in the church. You man, they irritate me in the church. They irritate you because you're not born again. You cannot hate each other in the church. You know how these guys in America, you like to change churches like every two, three years, somebody's changing church. You don't like something. You don't like carpet. You don't like worship. You don't like air conditioning. Always tell them, I will send you to Bosnia somewhere. There's no windows there. And I was in one church in Oregon. It was actually a great church. I went in, so I said, Pastor, looks very clean and nice. He said, well, we had one couple in our church. Just they come last Sunday and they went to the kids ministry. And after that, they come to me and said, Pastor, you know, we went to kids ministry and we saw kids smudges on the window, you know, windows of the kids ministry, and we cannot come back. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I can send to Vietnam, maybe churches without window. Sometimes I'm wondering if people are born again. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Is that correct? We cannot hate church. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. It doesn't matter what color they are. And I spent 1 month in Texas. They have white church, black church, Spanish church, that church. Why still? Why the guys mix a little bit together? Well, you don't understand. We have different culture. Mm-hmm. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. If you are born of God, you cannot say, the brother Mario, world is so strong, I cannot help it. Yes, you can help. God can help you. You ought to be born again and filled with His Spirit. Of course, you cannot live in this world without His Spirit. It's very hard. 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. We know that no one who is born of God sins, but he who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. You see, Apostle John is not referring to a sinless life, but to a life that sins less. In other words, all whom the Spirit saves, he sanctifies. And of course, it takes a lifetime, but they progressively grow in holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Also, Apostle Paul spoke about the effects of new birth in our lives when he talked about the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22-23. So, fruits of the Spirit is what? Love, not hate, and what?
Joy.
Man, some people like that, they say, man, you need to be born again. It looks like there's no joy in your life. It's very simple. Patience. Uh-oh. That's the wrong one. Where is that in the Bible? I say, it's in the Bible. Gentleness. Can you imagine that? Guys and girls, you're gentle. You know, in the marriage life. Man, tell them, be born again. Filled with the Spirit. Goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. It takes a lifetime, you know. G.C. Ryle, a 19th century Anglican bishop, observed the thousands of nominal cultural Christians in his days, and he's asking, he's writing. He said, what do they like the best when they have a choice? What do they enjoy most when they can have their own way? Observe the manner in which they spend their Sundays. Mark how little delight they seem to feel in the Bible and prayer. Take notice of the love and earthen notions of pleasure and happiness which everywhere prevail. Then he asked his readers to ponder this question. What would these people do in heaven? In other words, church, if we do not delight yourself in God, ourselves in God right now, we will not know what to do with ourselves in heaven. And people today, you know, pastors told me, like, you know, if they come twice a month, they're good church members. I said, really? Where is that in the Bible? They said, Brother Mario, in America, you know, 30% people give tithes offering. That's the highest level. So what about those 70%? They're just watching the show? Well, there's Chicago Bulls playing on Sunday morning. I'm sorry, I cannot come. Who is your God? Chicago Bulls? So you see, Jesus showed Nicodemus that there is a clear defined line between the natural and spiritual. Thus, we said it's absolutely essential that you experience the new birth. Now you may not understand exactly how it happens. When it happens, you can see the effects of the new life in the one who is be born again. And 14, lastly, we're going for lunch. Are you ready? Are you surviving? You not kick me out? I'm just checking on you. Okay. So the lastly and 40, the only way to understand spiritual truth is to believe the testimony of Jesus. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered to him, are you the teacher of Israel? Are you a PhD guy, well-known scholar, and do not know those things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive a witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he came down from heaven, and that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. So Jesus makes two main points here. First, he said, Nicodemus, religious learning is useless apart from being born again. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Please explain to me. And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know those things? You see, church, Nicodemus taught others for years on how to obtain the kingdom of heaven through keeping the commands of God and Mosaic traditions. And now Jesus was saying, Nicodemus, that was wrong approach. Church, Nicodemus had to have been familiar with the prophet Joel, who said, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And also on my manservants and on my maidservants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Joel chapter 2, verse 28, 29. He would also have known that Isaiah often prophesied about a time when God will pour up his spirit, such as Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3. For I will pour out water on him who is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessings on your offerings. So church, Nicodemus should not have been amazed at Jesus' teachings. But the point is, apart from having God's Spirit dwelling in you through the new birth, you can read and study His Word for years in the original language and still miss the main point of the Bible. You know, I was studying in Lutheran seminary. I was not saved. I was studying Greek, Hebrew, Latin. I ended up in Serbia just because I wanted to not go to the war. I don't know my testimony. Well, I was 19 years old. We had war in Croatia. I was not so brave guy. But in my country, they were not drafting people who are going to college first, but regular folk. I tried to study in a college, but I couldn't pass exam. So I thought, well, I'll go in the army, and I hope I'll survive. And then I met one lady. We partied together, and I was bartender, hip-hop dancer. I'm not church guy, you know. I'm Gentile who got saved. So, you know, she told me, oh, there is actually one part of University of Zagreb, you can enroll yourself without any exam for free. I said, great. So what kind of school is that? She says, Lutheran Theological Seminary. I said, what? I said, man, I don't care about God, neither theology, neither seminary. After a few days of thinking, I said to myself, man, I'll go to seminary. It's safer there than the front line. So me and my friend, hip-hop dancers, me and my friend went there, crazy guys, we lied to the bishop. We said to him, Mr. Bishop, we want to become priests all our lives. He said, okay, I will give you scholarship. Receive scholarships. And then all crazy guys, you come to our seminar, it's kind of like really secular seminar, you go there, nobody is saved, they're all crazy. One is agnostic, one is atheist, one is hip-hop dancer, one is bartender, one is like, who knows what we're doing, but we're studying theology. In Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, did you know that I never read the Bible as devotion? And then after 2 years, you know, the best friend of mine, he got saved, and he's not coming to the seminar anymore. He went to another seminary called Evangelical Seminary. Every time he's back in my town, I said, hey, let's go to dance together. There's nightclub. We can do all those moves, you know, kind of like hip-hop stuff, you know. He said, no, I'm born again. I said, what you are? He said, born again. I said, I'm scholar. I said, so what? And said, well, you know, I cannot live like, I need to change my life. You know, I changed my life. I didn't understand at all, church. But I have all this Old Testament, New Testament, Old Testament criticism, New Testament criticism, Greek, Hebrew, Latin, everything. I searched the scripture, but I missed the main point of the Bible. Mario, you ought to be born again. And my second year, I got saved. Another church, my eyes open up, I figure, oh, nobody's born again here. I try to tell them, you ought to be born again, you need to stop sinning. That was the end of my scholarship in Lutheran Seminary, of course. But God was good, you know, He provided another scholarship. You remember when Jesus rebuked the religious leaders, what He told them? You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. You know, people say, well, Brother Mario memorized scripture. So what? Satan knows the scripture too. But he is not saved. Church, we are not willing to come to him. He is giving life, not the scripture. Are you with me? And Jesus then makes a second point. He said, I am the infallible revealer of spiritual truth. Jesus' church is able to reveal spiritual truth to us because He came down from heaven. He said, most assuredly, or truly, truly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive a witness. So for the third time, Jesus introduced His statement with truly, truly. He is emphasizing the fact that His testimony is absolutely reliable and true. So if you reject what Jesus is saying about your need for the new birth, you're arrogantly asserting that you know more about spiritual things than He does, even though He came down from heaven and He knows what He's talking about. But that was precisely the problem with Jewish leaders. You see, Jesus' testimony about God and the only way to have sins forgiven and get eternal life was confronting their religious pride. You see, the problem was they did not see themselves as sinners who needed a Savior. So they rejected the true testimony of the only one who has come from heaven to tell us how to live right with God. Remember their conversation? They said, well, we are Abraham descendants, you know. You know, we are third generation of preachers. We go to church. We are Americans. We are Christians, you know. And he looked on them. He said, you know who is your father? Oh, yes, you know, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah. No, your father is the devil. Can you imagine that? You want to kill me? That's not, by the way, fruit of the Spirit. Of course they want to kill him. Can you imagine? Telling all those scholars and pastors and church folks, your father is the devil. Why is the devil? Because your deeds are showing you're not born again. Your deeds are just shoving. It's so simple. You don't know Christ. You hate. You practice sin. That was normal for you. There are a couple of difficulties to try to resolve in these verses. I'm finishing. First, do you notice that Jesus moved from speaking in singular term to speaking in plural? He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive a witness." You see, Mosaic law stated that accurate testimony is based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. And later on in John chapter 5, verse 31, Jesus again refers to that rule by saying, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not truth." So when Jesus began speaking in plural term, he's probably referring to himself as well as the other prophets who spoke of him, so giving himself the basis of two and three witnesses. Secondly, it is necessary to explain the difference between earthly things and heavenly things. He said, "If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" John chapter 3 verse 12. So the earthly things that he spoke of were most likely the illustration he used actually, birth and the wind, to reveal the heavenly truth of new life from God. But if Nicodemus could not understand the simpler earthly things, how could he understand when Jesus began explaining his abandonment and final sacrifice on the cross? And thirdly and lastly, Jesus is revealing the fact that only he can reveal the spiritual truth, because only he has came down from heaven to bring those truth to us. He said in John chapter 3 verse 13, "No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven." So church, if we reject Jesus' testimony, we reject God's primary source for all spiritual truth. I'm finishing one story. Henry Allen Ireson, one of the great Bible teachers of the 1900s, once shared of an experience he had when he visited a godly old Irishman, Andrew Fraser. The old man could barely speak because his lungs were giving out from a terminal illness, but they spoke together over the elderly man's very warm Bible, while the elderly man simply shared truth after truth in a way Mr. Ironside had never heard before. And after some time of listening, Mr. Ironson asked this man, "Where did you learn these things? Can you tell me where I can find a book that will open such wonderful truths to me? Did you learn these things in seminary?" And the elderly man told him, "My dear young man, I learned these things on my knees on the mud floor of a little sod cottage in the north of Ireland. There, with my open Bible before me, I used to kneel for hours at a time and ask the Spirit of God to reveal Christ to my soul and to open the Word to my heart. He taught me," he said, "oh, more on my knees on that mud floor than I ever could have learned in all the colleges and seminaries in the world." And church, that is the main reason why we need new birth. When the Spirit of God comes to abide in our hearts, He opens and reveals the sweet truths about Jesus, while we read and study His Word in prayerful dependence of Him. Just as David said in Psalm 19:10, "Those truths are more desirable than gold and sweeter than honey to your soul." Let us stand for prayer. So I hope the Holy Spirit is talking to you. I'd like to pray two prayers. First of all, I'd like to pray for you that you are going to church, you attended the church, but according to the message, you are never born again. So if you're willing to repent for your sins and you want to put trust in Jesus, you can repeat the prayer after me. Dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe that He died for my sin and that you raised Him to life. I want to trust Him as my Savior and follow Him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And maybe you are saved, you know, attended the church, but you know, you had a hard time, maybe dry time, season time in your life. You know what? You need to be filled with His Spirit. It's very hard to live godly life. It's hard to live in those crises that surround us, you know, without His help. You know, that's the reason why Jesus said, we cannot go anywhere and depart from Jerusalem until what? You are baptized by His Spirit. Church, we need to be baptized by His Spirit and be filled with His Spirit to live the life according to the Bible. So if you want more His Spirit and baptize His Spirit, you can repeat that prayer after me. Said, Holy Spirit, our living hope, we long for your glory and power. Our hearts long to be overcome by your presence. Like a mighty rushing wind, fill this place. Baptize us with your fire. Spirit of truth, teach us all things and bring to remembrance the word of Jesus. Guide us into all truth. Give us power in our weakness and to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. Pastor Mike or Jerry would like to conclude this service. Offer a song. Thank you so much. Sorry, guys.